Hey, I'm stand-up comedian Ophira Eisenberg, and I am mom to a very spirited 9-year-old and host of Parenting is a Joke. Each week, I talk to comedians and celebrities about what it's like to raise kids while keeping your career afloat. There is no parenting advice here, okay? Just hilarious stories from the chaos of everyday life, from school drop-offs to airport meltdowns and everything in between. We're all figuring it out. New episodes every Tuesday and Thursday. Subscribe to Parenting is a Joke wherever you get your podcasts.
From the podcast that brought you to each of the last lesbian bars in the country and back in time through the sapphic history that shaped them, comes a brand new season of Cruising Beyond the Bars. This is your host, Sarah Gabrielli, and I've spent the past year interviewing history-making lesbians and queer folks about all kinds of queer spaces, from bookstores to farms to line dancing and much more.
For 11 years, every night women slept illegally on the common.
We would move down to the West Indies to form a lesbian nation.
Meg Kristen coined the phrase women's music, but she would have liked to say it was lesbian music.
And that's kind of the origins of the Combahoover Collective.
You can listen to Cruising on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. New episodes air every other Tuesday starting February 4th.
This episode and the entire year of episodes is proudly brought to you by California Cryobank. Use code QUEERFAM25 for a free level 2 subscription to their donor catalog. Make those babies, y'all, and then you know what to do. Come tell me about them.
The Queer Family Podcast. Love is love is love on the Queer Family Podcast. Love is love.
After I graduated, I started working in education. I worked in an elementary school for 13 years as a family advocate and in the psychology department. And I was like, okay, this is real. It's now moved from an obsession to, I believe that I was ordained to be a parent. And I believe that I was put in this 13-year space to kind of understand what the journey would look like and learn how to advocate for my child when I was allotted that gift.
Welcome, y'all, to the Queer Family Podcast Pride Extravaganza. Yes, yes, that's right. The show all about family, but with gay. That highlights, celebrates, uplifts, and normalizes LGBTQIA families in all of our beautiful identities is bringing you our third annual Pride Extravaganza, which means you're getting double the episodes the entire month of June, our beautiful Pride Month. Yes, baby, you get an episode on Monday and you get an episode on Thursday. So we are doubling up the queer family goodness for our celebration month. And y'all, this celebration couldn't be better in this episode. I sat down with Darren Graham, aka the real Darren Graham, on social media. I knew when we sat down that we were going to go deep. Because Darren's a thinker and Darren puts a lot of meaning behind things. And Darren is a single dad by choice. And his story is going to give you some feels, y'all. And his story is going to really make you realize how intentional we queer folks really are. And I want to say one more thing that stuck with me in my conversation with Darren is how our queerness, all of our queerness, kind of compels us, kind of brings out our ability to challenge the norm, because we just challenge the norm by showing up in life. But what that does also is in our everyday lives, it helps us learn how to challenge the norms that are all around us. And we know we're living in the soup of this normal lifestyle, which is such BS, and we all know it. And just by us showing up in the world, it gives us more and more tools and more strength to challenge these norms in all aspects of life. Like, for instance, just this morning, I was at a PTA thing for my kids' school. I was helping the PTA get a bunch of bouquets together to give to the teachers. Really sweet thing to do, right? And we're in the room and all these moms are there. And I, of course, am like constantly, and I know I'm like a squeaky wheel, but I'm constantly like, where are all the dads, guys? And I'm sure they're all like, oh my God, shut up, gay mom. We know, we get it, you know? But I can't stop myself because it's so true. And I want them all to realize that Where are your husbands, ladies? And let's change these norms. Like, work at that. Thank you. Not to say we're better, but yeah, we are. Sorry, not sorry. But like, I don't know. And I kept making like comments like that because I do feel it's my mission to make people see how ridiculously asinine these gender norms are that we've created in this society we live in. We don't have to. Your husbands didn't have to stay home for this. You should have dragged them in. And one of the moms was like, I know, where are the husbands? I ask myself that every day. And I'm like, well, stop. Just tell them to show up. I'm just kidding. I don't know their situations. So I need to stop being so judgy. But at the same time, let's go out there, queer folks, especially this month, and challenge those norms and let everybody know that it doesn't have to be this way. It really doesn't. And that's what my conversation with Darren has left me with. And I think y'all are going to get some really beautiful thoughts out of this episode too. I can't wait for you to listen. And just, oh, the intentionality. Ah, it's gorgeous. So let's do this. Let's roll this tape. I can't wait for you to hear Darren's story. And if you're not following Darren yet, go follow Darren because he gives you so many like useful tidbits on life. Like I feel like he's like my little guru that I have on my phone now. I'm going to get advice from Darren every morning. That's my new plan. Anyway, all right, let's roll the tape. Helen, Beulah, my beautiful assistants, would you please roll that tape? Thank you. Oh my God, they're actually getting up and actually doing it. Right away. I can't believe it. They're really turning over a leaf, this Pride extravaganza. They're not real. I don't have assistants. It's just me in my room with my bed behind me. Okay. Helen, Beulah, Gerson, can you please roll that tape? Let's go.
Queer Family Podcast, love is love.
Hi, Darren.
Hi.
This is an exciting one. You're gorgeous sitting here in front of me. And,
oh, thank you.
And I cannot wait to hear your backstory because I know a lot about you from your Instagram, The Real Darren Graham. If you're not following Darren yet, you need to go follow Darren. But I don't know your whole backstory, so I'm excited.
Yes, I'm excited to share and be in community and have this good conversation and have fun.
So much fun. It's already so much fun. Without further ado, we're going to get into your 30-second elevator pitch. And you wanted to be surprised about this. So Darren doesn't know what it is, you listeners at home. So we're really throwing it at him. It's not that crazy. So you have 30 seconds to tell us who you are and why you're here talking to the Queer Fam Squad. On your mark, get set, go.
Hi, my name is Darren. I'm also known as Ducky's Dad these days. I am a lifestyle content creator. I am a single dad. I am a proud advocate for what the modern dad should look like. Caribbean man, love fashion, love lifestyle, love to laugh, dance, joke, love community. I love the idea of queerness, being proud in my queerness as a Black out man. I'm all about love and unity. All right.
You did it. You did it. That was beautiful. And you said everything you needed to say. And then I feel like you were like, I'm going to fill in some more here, which is even better. You're a professional. You're a true professional, Darren. I've actually spent the past 20 minutes scrolling through all your videos and getting so inspired by you because you're so beautiful at just saying little inspirational things, little inspirational snippets in your videos, which I very much love. And I got some feel-good feelings out of just the 20 minutes I just did. And also, your baby is so cute. And you two just do little fashion things. You're so fashionable. Can you come style me, please?
Just tell me place and time and let's do it.
I have a gala I have to go to on Monday. And you had a video where you were doing an all Black look. And I think I'm inspired by that.
Is that the one with the coat?
Yes, you had like the coat and then a Black shirt and then some Black slacks, which you have that long, lean body that I don't have that just makes everything.
It is all legs.
And I am all not legs. So like.
It's all legs. It's an illusion. It's all legs.
It's amazing. It's amazing.
Thank
you.
I
love your account. So everybody go follow The Real Darren Graham. Let's get into your story. Like, because this is the Queer Family Podcast. Obviously, we talk about how we made our families and then how we show up in the world that wasn't necessarily designed for families like ours.
Exactly.
Can we take it back to young Darren and when Darren realized who Darren's true authentic self was. And like, I'm taking you way back, Darren. I don't know how far back that goes for you, but let's go.
Before I even dive into responding to your question, something that I always want to honor in queer spaces is just giving the platform and the creators of this platform their flowers. So I thank you for creating space for community. And I'm being so genuine. Guys, this was not rehearsed. I just want to really make this very clear. Any platform that I bring my story to or just have fun on, once there's someone from my community, I have to make sure that we know we will continue to bring the chairs to the tables that do not create space for us.
I'm slow clapping right here. I am giving you that.
And yeah, I just wanted you to know that before then. So thank you for just creating your own table. Mm. There we go. You created this table for us and I feel it. So thank you so much.
Oh, thank you.
One of the things that I always knew is that clothing or just garments, whether it be a curtain, whether it be a blanket, that I would recreate. Because something that people don't know about me is that I actually hand sew a lot of things because I'm a tall man.
Oh.
So half of the things that I do buy in store, I always recreate and redesign with my tailor, Andy. Shout outs to Andy.
Ooh.
And I've been doing it since I was a little boy. I'm big on hand stitching. I knew from then, something was just very different for me and my family, in my biological family, because I have created community and, you know, over the years and have my own family.
As we do.
Exactly. We do it very well.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm from the Caribbean. I'm from St. Vincent, very small island of 100,000 plus people. You can literally walk the island within 2 hours, the whole entire island.
Oh, wow.
I never saw representation within my biological family of what I was feeling on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
I felt creativity. I felt warmth. I felt my feminine energy overtaking the masculine energy. I felt inspiration. There was nothing there for me. I didn't see anything that I was feeling in my biological community. So one thing that I started doing was journaling. At the age of like maybe 7, 8 years old, I started writing. I still do to this day, right? I think there's a story up today on my Instagram of me writing in the cafes. That was just my way of kind of like figuring out who I was. So around 8 or 9, I knew. I loved textiles. I loved metals. I would go outside. And I don't know if we have Caribbean or West Indians that tune into this space, but if you are, you would understand what a beautiful. But I would go outside and find barbed wire. We call it. It's like the, I don't know what it's called in America, but let's just say metal twine. Wrap it around my finger to create rings. And I would create like structures out of these pieces and model them to school. And I would always get told by the teachers, take that off.
Oh.
I knew from there and then I started kind of like rebelling those spaces in a good way. Through conversation, that things just didn't feel good. So I would always, when I spoke to my mom lived in the US, we were educated in St. Vincent. I would always tell my mom, like, hurry up and get me out of here.
So who did you live with?
Grandma. I lived with my grandma. Yeah. And my older sister, my younger sister was later adopted by my mom. I would always just feel like there was just something in this space that just did not sit right with me. I spent a lot of my time on the beach away from people. We were allowed because we lived very close to walk to the beach at the age of 6 by ourselves. So I spent, I didn't know how magical it sounds, but in that moment, it wasn't for me. It was more so like an escape. Like I sat under the coconut trees on the beach, just writing, isolating. And I would just express to my mom when I did speak to her on the phone, like, hey, I need to get out of here because I feel like I'm stuck in my body and there's no space for me to actually grow. So yeah, I knew from age 8.
Was your grandma accepting and your mom?
No.
So you were really kind of like trapped.
They weren't students to receive that information, right? And I can't blame them. You know, they didn't know, they can't know something that they were not privy to or had the heart to learn. So I just knew the only thing that was possible for me was for me to actually leave from that space because I did not belong there. And eventually we did, clearly.
Yeah. And obviously you're here. And you're in Brooklyn, right?
I'm in Brooklyn, yeah.
So little Darren is feeling kind of like lost within yourself and kind of trapped. And then somehow you make it over to the States to mom. And then when does the coming out happen?
Ooh, so I came to this country when I was 11, I want to say, if I'm remembering right. I didn't fully confirm because I don't say coming out. I just want to clarify. It's not a coming out for me. I've always been me.
Uh-huh. Ooh, okay. I like this.
Heterosexual representing humans do not have to come out. So I don't think a queer folk should be considered a coming out.
Because it others us. I feel you.
Hello. We are confirming. That's what we're doing. So I confirmed at the age of 17 to my mom.
I love that. Wait, yeah. I love this because it also like takes like that whole Catholic thing, the confirmation, and spins it around.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
I like it. Because, yes.
And that's one of the things that because I've done a lot of debates around New York in school through NYU, through LIU. Shout out to LIU. That's my alma mater. I stood by myself. It's like that thing that we're seeing now, 100 humans against a gorilla or something like that. Uh-huh. I just felt like that space because I would always say, I would correct everyone, stop saying that I came out. I didn't come out of anywhere. Where was I coming from? I was in front of you this whole entire time. I'm just confirming what you already knew or you were suspicious about, that I was not ready to have that conversation with you because you were not a student to receive it.
Right.
So right. I confirmed at 17 to my mom after the questions just kept happening, but indirect questioning. I don't know if you dealt with that when you did your confirmation.
My confirmation is different because nobody saw it coming. Nobody. Mm. I was living an incognito life, you know, with all the straights out there. So my confirmation was more of a, by the way, this is who I am type thing. Then everybody was shocked. And then it took, you know, then they had to deal with the shock of it all and then like figure it out in their own heads. Oh, right. So different, but.
Which is powerful.
Yeah. Right. Like to finally own my truth.
Absolutely.
And let people know, listen. And then it's still like to this day, I have to be like, no, I'm gay. It's not always assumed with me. And I think that we all have varying degrees of this, you know. And I think that like the first Pride March I ever went to, the sign I made said, I won't stop marching until, I don't remember how it was worded, but it was something to the effect of like, until heterosexuality is not the norm. I will keep marching until heterosexuality is not assumed anymore, right? Mm-mm. And we're not there. It's still assumed. It's always the first, you know, the first assumption made.
Absolutely. Yeah. Isn't that insane?
It is.
How it's the land of freedom.
Yeah.
That's how the USA is posted, right? That's how it's stamped and marketed. It's the land of freedom, the land of human rights, and you can say whatever you want. It's a liberated state and da 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 da. But is it really?
We're finding out even more so lately that no.
It's not. And yeah, so I had to just turn my mom into a student. And it wasn't the easiest journey. We are as thick as thieves now, because once she fully got into the classroom and learned, she was just like, oh my God, like, why didn't I take this course a long time ago? Like, this is beautiful.
Yay, mom. Go,
yeah,
mom.
My mom rocks. My mom is really like, you know, like she's the girl. She is the girl.
I'm so glad to hear that because I was a little afraid it was gonna go the other way.
Oh, no. Thankfully, we did have a very rocky, once I confirmed, we did have a very rocky relationship for a while. Mm-hmm. Rightfully, again, it's what she didn't know. And it was just that thing of how are people gonna perceive me? What's gonna happen? What's, you know, this gonna look like? I don't know this. Like, I'm not ready. And once we came around, it was sweet.
I am so happy for you to hear that. And I absolutely love this whole philosophical conversation we're having surrounding confirmation and finding one's true self. So thank you for that, Darren.
Yeah.
I knew we were going to be going deep. I knew it. So, okay. So you confirm and mom comes around and the people around you, I'm sure they started taking up the lesson and affirming that lesson, thank goodness. And so then where did we go from young Darren who has confirmed to, I want to be a dad. Like, where did that come in?
I've always wanted to be a dad, to be quite honest. It was like, I was obsessed because I was raised by a single mom.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay. And
so my obsession came from that.
We'll be right back.
Queer Family Podcast, love is love.
Hey, y'all. Hey. As we all know, there is no right way to make a baby the queer way. Whether you're choosing to adopt like Darren did or donor conception is in your future, California Cryobank has you covered. California Cryobank has one of the largest and most diverse selections of thoroughly screened donors and a team that's been proudly serving queer families for over 45 years. They made my babies and I love them. They are known for their inclusive and affirming support staff, their open ID donor options, their easy to navigate donor search, and resources designed with queer parents in mind. And I'm not making any of that up. They really are good at this. If donor sperm is a path you're choosing to take or a path you're even thinking about taking, what you're going to want to do is go to cryobank.com and use code QUEERFAM25. That's QUEERFAM25. And with that, you're going to get a free level 2 subscription to their donor catalog. Head on over there, start making those babies, and then come tell me about them, because y'all know I love that. All right, let's get back to the episode.
Love is love.
So then my next question is, once you realized who you were and how you were going to show up in the world, and you knew you wanted to be a dad, when did the thoughts of how I was going to do it come in? Because for a lot of us, it happens so, because we have to figure it out.
To be very transparent, it happened once I started healing. Once I found therapy, when I was in high school, my mom wasn't really hands-on. Again, she didn't understand the education system here. She has a high school education. She didn't have the opportunity to go to college because she had kids very young. So we kind of like grew with my mom. So once I found my community in high school in terms of the adults that really supported me, and like, I had a queer representation, Miss Amimbola, and I'm proud to see her name in my school, that really pushed me in the direction of how to advocate, one, for yourself, how to show up in the world in an educated and very peaceful way. And she pushed me into that space that's called The Door. I don't know if you know
what
The Door is. The Door is another community. I'm not sure if they're still around. I really would love to go back and have conversations with them if they are. But it was a space for queer youth that talked to you about like sexual safety, sexual education. Again, therapy, counseling.
Yeah.
They will, if you are transitioning, they will help you do it the right way. With, you know, like obviously permission from your parent. And right. They would really like foster you into a space and really make you as healthy as possible.
That's amazing. And also just shout out to the power of representation in a school, the power of having queer teachers and guidance in schools is so important, right? Just a shout out and a pause to just say that, because it is
absolutely,
because they're trying to take it away and it's going to cost lives, literally.
I think also to speak to that point too, at a time, shout out to them for being bold enough to show up in spaces at a time where they were not allowed to.
Yeah, true.
And Miss Amimbola was one of those. She's a New York woman, because she's that's her pronouns, but she's a New York woman that does not care about what anyone says at all. And she'll tell you that in a heartbeat. And she just really, really pushed and found the queer youths in school and like fostered us all. So once I found The Door, we had our full conversations about like what my traumas were. And I spoke very deeply about the fact that I grew up in a very female strong household. There was no male representation. My grandmother had 9 kids and only 2 boys, 7 girls.
Wow.
And both men were not in the picture. Mm-hmm. One was traveling and the other one was just living his life on the island. So I was raised by all very powerful women, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
All single moms.
Go ahead.
But very successful and powerful. And I think that's where I got a lot of my sass, my extra sass from, and like the way I dress and all that stuff.
We all could use extra sass.
Once I started therapy through The Door, around 16, 17, I started my healing journey. And fast forward to like university, I would see there was like a young mom in my classroom that will bring her daughter to class. My professor was like the bomb.com about it. No, he really was. He would like be rocking her daughter while she's studying. Like, I cannot make this up. And once I saw that, my fascination started. I was just like, oh, wow, like that looks really beautiful. Fast forward to after I graduated, I started working in education. I worked in an elementary school for 13 years as a family advocate and in the psychology department. And I was like, okay, this is real. It's now moved from an obsession to, I believe that I was ordained to be a parent. And I believe that I was put in this 13-year space to kind of understand what the journey would look like and learn how to advocate for my child when I was allotted that gift. Mm-hmm. And I worked very closely with the Administration for Child Services. I worked very closely with all the psychiatrists and what the special education departments would look like. I worked on the general ed education. Mm-hmm. I got to be a part of cohorts through NYU's TACD team on how to advocate and learn about the disproportionality between young men and young women, their learning. So I was just like, God, what is all of this that you are giving me surrounding children? Like, what does this mean? Mm-hmm. And in 2018, there was something that happened. I was in my office and I was just like, I cannot do this anymore. Like, I just feel, I've always been creating in the background part-time. And I knew eventually when I did kind of like semi-master my skills of social media, because I wasn't into social media at that time, that I wanted to take it very seriously. So I knew I had a voice because I love to have conversation. I knew that I had a story to tell in terms of like me healing, my journey. I knew that I had a story to tell through writing, which I do a lot of. So in 2018, I got a call from a friend, a close friend, and she was just like, you know, I had a dream yesterday. It was you holding a boy, but he was a tiny boy, like a very tiny, tiny boy. And she couldn't figure out what the term was. She was like, he was so tiny. He was in the hospital. And I swear I'm not making that, hands to God, I'm not making this up. And she was like, he was just like really, really tiny. Like he can fit in the palm of your hands. And all you kept saying was, oh, come on, dude, let's get out of here. We have to get out of the hospital. Oh. And she was like, I woke up and I was like, oh my God, I don't know what it meant. She spoke to her grandmother to ask her like to interpret this dream, because like what the hell is this dream? And
I want my friends to call me with dreams about me. You got some psychic friends.
And I'm like, wait, what did your grandmother say? And she was like, she does not know. This is something that she does not know what this means. I was like, okay, that's kind of weird. So then fast forward later into 2018, I was like, you know what? I'm going to start putting in my application through foster agencies to see if adoption is not possible for me or surrogacy, like maybe I want to foster. Let's get that process started. And I did. And I got like a few little leaks in here, you know, there. The pandemic started. Uh-huh. And all of my paperwork got lost.
Oh God. You're not the first person that I've talked to that this has happened to.
Listen, dude, you're going to be so freaked out when I tell you this. And you're in the second space that I'm talking to. The other interview is not out. So yours is probably most likely going to be out before that one. Like, this is insane.
Oh my God. Exclusive content here.
Yes, exclusive. Just remember the dream, right? Mm-hmm. In 2022, I got a call at the top of the year, a couple of weeks after my birthday. My birthday is January 15th, from the Administration of Children's Services saying, hey, we stumbled upon an old application of yours for 2018.
What?
And I'm like, how did you get that paperwork? I didn't submit it to you. I submitted it through an agency called JCCA, the mm-hmm. Jewish Center for Child Advocacy, because I just knew from recommendation that that's where I wanted to, which I ended up working with them. It's crazy. And I was like, okay, hi. She was just like, you know, I wanted to process your paperwork just because I see that you're in education. I know your fingerprints are updated because you can't have that job if it's not. But we would just like to run some extra things on you, like some background checks and all those things. I was like, okay, let's do it. Top of the year. Hadn't heard from them for like a few months. My son was born May 30th. Mm-hmm. I got a call June 1st from them again to say, hey, by the way, I know you signed up it's us again. And I'm like, hey.
Hey.
What's y'all? Up? What's up? And they were like, we know you signed up for fostering, but we have a little boy that needs to be adopted.
Oh.
I know. Here's where the dream becomes very crazy for me. My son was born severely premature.
Oh.
2 pounds.
Oh.
He was only able to sit in the palm of my hands.
Oh, my God.
Right?
Yeah.
Every day I would go, because he stayed in the NICU for a month and a half. Oh, every day I would go and hold him in my hand. And I didn't remember the dream. I did not remember the dream while I was in within the process. I just kept saying, dude, come on. We got to get out the hospital. And then fast forward to, I was just like, wait a minute. My friend called me again. Her name is Medina. Medina called me again and was like, remember I told you the dream that I had like in 2018? What did I say that you were saying in the dream? I was like,
what?
The floodgates opened. When I tell you, my friend was like, she was like so confused on what was happening. I just could not stop crying.
Oh, because.
Could not stop crying. Because like, what?
When stuff like that happens, when those synchronicities happen, right? Like your body has a visceral reaction.
Oh my God, I could not stop crying.
Yeah.
And my mom said, you know what that cry was? That was your healing. So that was the little boy in you crying, right? And that was the first time that you ever, because you've never cried, not even in therapy, have I ever cried about anything that we had conversation-wise pertaining to my dad. That was the first deep cry my mom has ever experienced me actually crying. And I think that same exact day that I had the conversation with Medina in my office, I resigned from my job.
Whoa.
So everything happened. Because remember, I wanted to take my skill very seriously. And once my son was born, I was like, okay, that's it.
Yeah.
I got to focus.
Babies change everything. Babies crack you open and... Mm. Make you realize so many things, and they literally crack you open. It's painful. Yeah. It's a metamorphosis and it's painful.
And I'm still dealing with it. The thing is that I'm dealing with it in a very positive way. And I always say being a dad for me is my biggest accomplishment so far. And I'm going to definitely pat myself on the shoulder, but
yes, we all deserve that.
Exactly. And for my 37 years on this earth, I've accomplished a lot of beautiful things. But being a dad is so different, and you're a parent too. So you would understand this, and people that are not parents always say, oh my God, every parent says that, but genuinely do not understand. When you become a parent, there's something that just magically just changes in you. It's like you start figuring things out that you didn't even know needed to be figured out.
Yeah. Or in my case, you start realizing you're a hot mess.
That's some of the things that we were figuring out. I'm saying. It's under the umbrella.
And you realize you have a much shorter fuse than you thought you did. That's me.
Oh, I'm in the three-nager stage right now. So
oh, girl.
Yeah, I am. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. It's tough. It has its challenges, but it is also... The most important thing, so like what you said, the true definition of beauty is there's a lot of ugliness in it, and it's also so damn beautiful.
Talk about it. Talk about it. When I tell you, I have learned so much. I've become so much braver. Like my son really have pushed me to the forefront, and I used to hide a lot behind, you know, like the cameras, and now I'm in front of them because of him. Like he makes me want to keep being brave and keep showing him that it's okay and like giving him what I didn't have. So my son is literally watching me heal, and he's growing with me while I'm healing. Mm-hmm. And it's so beautiful to watch him enjoy it too.
Yeah.
Because I could tell, he always tells me, he's like, Dada, I'm happy. And I'm like, okay, good. I'm like, where did that come from?
It's so sweet.
Cool. I love that.
He's so cute. And I think that's the beauty of queerness in general, and what queerness forces us to bring to our lives and to the table. And one of the big things is to be, and I talked to Stacey Anshin. Do you know Stacey Anshin?
Yes.
I interviewed her a couple times, and she said this was like season two. This was a long time ago, but she said this and it's stuck with me ever since. She said, I'm teaching my child and I live my life to be an upstander, not a bystander. An upstander, not a bystander, right?
Come on, Stacey.
Yes. And it's stuck with me ever since. And I think my theory is that queerness brings that out of us. So many of us are upstanders because we've had to be. And so we are modeling how to be an upstander to our children and not just a bystander. And because we show up in the world different as a family unit,
absolutely,
our children are conditioned to stand up for their family and stand up for differences, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
And I think that's one of the beauties that queerness brings to the table and to the world.
I agree. I think that's why a lot of kids that grow up in queer households automatically learn what love is, because that's what we were forced to create, right? Because most of us were lacking that. Most of us were being raised by a generation of trauma that was trying to make its way onto us without permission. And I think that's the beauty of it too. It's so beautiful to create a full, loving space, a good, healthy space, an intentionally warm space for your child to just fostering and be a part of the other communities, because that's what we do. We build these beautiful, big, extended families across the world, right? We are one of the only groups of humans that know how to build a family in Brazil through social media or through just a conversation through a pen pal, and then revisit. And then all of a sudden we're 90 years old with 13 different families in different countries because we're so fearless.
Yes.
And we're so fearless.
And we expand all intersections. We are all of us and we see that. And
yes,
we build that chosen family everywhere. And that's why I am so proud to be queer. I'm so proud.
Oh, God. I say that all the time. I'm like, listen to me. I don't have the flag on my forehead, but it's in my heart. It is in my voice. It is in my motion, how I walk, how I dress. It's in, people always say I glide when I walk. It's because I'm light. I am light. I am a light. I am the representation of the freaking queer flag. Like, I am walking around. I am not going to hide it. I'm light. I'm every type of light. I'm light like a feather. I'm light in brightness.
You're pure light. I love it so much. This is, I feel so affirmed. Thank you so much, Darren. You get the call. He's in the NICU for so long. That must have been really scary. And also you're grappling with becoming a father suddenly, like so fast. And not only that, a single father. Can we dive into just that a little bit? Just the whole, like the suddenness of it. And then also your feelings and thoughts surrounding becoming a single gay dad by choice.
I had to make the decision in 24 hours.
Whew.
Yeah. That's something that people don't know, but now they do.
Out of the blue. Like, it wasn't even like because you filled this application out in 2018 and then you hear back again. And then it was like really big pockets of time go by before. And then all of a sudden, oh, we have someone for you. So it's very out of the blue.
I remember it like yesterday. Like, I literally, again, all this happened, which is crazy. All this happened in the space that I was starting to heal from as well, too. My job, my old job. My job brought me so much trauma.
Oh.
And I was healing through therapy because I'm still, shout out to Bianca. She's the best and realest therapist. She kicks my ass.
Go ahead, Bianca.
But no, I had 24 hours to make that decision once I got that call, rightfully. And I understood the process because I had already been in the work field with them through the kids that I worked with and saw in my case. But the only person, my best friend passed this year on my birthday.
I'm sorry.
Of 2020. Thank you. And the only person that I called in that moment was him. And he said to me, well, he's not the only person. He was the first person, excuse me. I called my mom. He said to me, girl, you've been talking about this goddamn being a parent for so long.
Oh.
And I'm ready to be a gunkle. So you need to figure this out. You have less than 24 hours. That's what he said to me. And then I said, okay, girl, you're playing. I'm being very serious. This is not a bag. This is not a pair of shoes. This is a human. I felt the humor, but I also felt the support and the love and the seriousness behind his voice. And anyone that knew Jerome was like, they'll know that, listen, he was a realist. He was very opinionated, very bold, and very honest. Mm. And I said, okay, that's one opinion. I'm going to call my mom. And this is the biggest opinion. Mm-hmm. My mom said to me in like a 10 second sentence, I call my mom and she's going to hear this and she's going to be like, wow, you talked about it. I said, mom, I remember picking up the phone and said, hey, mom, where are you? And she's like, I'm in the house. And I'm like, okay. Which my mom lives up the block from me, by the way.
Oh, that's
shout out to her. Yeah. I said, I need to really talk to you right now. And she's like, oh, okay, so come to the house. I was like, no, I'm at work, girl. I said, I just got a call from ACS. And she's like, okay. And they're telling me that they have a little baby boy that needs to be adopted. And my mom, I remembered her going silent on the phone for a bit. I'm like, hello? And she's like, this is the only thing that I'm going to say to you. You don't need my confirmation, but you need God's confirmation. So what you need to do is you need to hang up the phone, close your office door, and ask God, is this the decision for you? And you will know by tomorrow what the answer is. And I did exactly what my mom said. Uh-huh. I hung up the phone. I closed my office door. I turned my office light off. I put my head on my desk. Mm-hmm. And I just kept praying, like, God, please show me a sign. Give me, you know, like an answer. Am I ready? Am I not ready? Is this the time? Or is this just a sign that I have access? Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I was walking home. I worked in Fort Greene. I live in Borum Hill, which is like a 15-minute walk from my job. At that time, I remembered walking home and all I would just say to myself is, I'm just going to do it. I said, if uh-huh. I wake up tomorrow and I feel the same way, I'm going to call back and tell them yes. Uh-huh. I woke up the next day and told them yes.
You had your sign.
I had my sign. That was the timeline of my decision-making. And I understand because once a child is in the system, what a lot of people don't know is there's a lineup of candidates.
Oh, yeah.
Very sad. It sounds very, I don't know if you can curse on that. Is this a
fuck? Yes.
Can I curse?
Yes, girl.
It's a very fucked up thing to do.
Yes.
And it is the systemic thing mm-hmm. that I wish I had the ability and power to change instantly. Mm-hmm. And it is something that I'm on the sidewalk on advocating for, and hopefully that could be a part of the change, but that's a different conversation. But made the decision, and then I am still dating this person off and on for years, but girl, that's a whole nother conversation. Okay, this is not the time. This is not Bianca's office. But a mess. I remembered having that conversation with this person at that moment, and I took them to lunch. And I sat them down because they had no idea.
This is all out of the blue. And you're dating this
person. I'm dating this person. And it's heavy. Time, we started dating in 2021. So it had been less than a year. So like the person that I am, I don't play with people's time because you're not going to play with mine. Mm-hmm. That's just not, I'm not a watch. Don't do it. So I was like, you know, in all fairness, and I'm very transparent and I pride myself in being bold and very honest. I said, I have to take this person face to face. Sit them down, have this conversation, and did. So the conversation was very simple. And the thing that I wanted them to know was the process that I talked to you about in 2018 is becoming a reality. These are the updates. And I shared them. And I said, you know, you don't have to be a part of this process. Mm-hmm. Would I love for you to be a part of this process? Absolutely. Am I expecting you to be a part of this process now? No. Would I love for you to be a part of this process now? Absolutely. I think you're a beautiful human. And I think that we will both be great parents to this child. But please do not feel guilty. Do not feel pressured to be a part of the process. But I'm letting you know that my answer is yes, with or without you. And at that time, I got the yes. But then once the reality kick in, it was just more like, ooh, I don't know if I can do this. And I swear, I felt no ways because, again, I opened that space and gave them that opportunity to say no. Mm-hmm. So it's okay. But I'm now letting you know, moving forward, I consider myself a single parent. Mm-hmm. So if you come back in the picture, you're just a supporting body. Mm-hmm. You're not a parent because you don't get to sign in and sign out. Mm-hmm. Not happening. No. And one thing that my son will not receive is this inconsistency. Mm-hmm. So that's why I made the decision to be a single dad. And until there's a ring on this missing finger or confirmation of we are in this together, we are life partners, then I will always be a single dad, proudly.
Yes.
Because it's not about, in my opinion, it's not about what the household size looks like. It's about what the village looks like. And
yes, 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 yes. And it is, and it is, yes. And it is setting boundaries up for yourself and setting boundaries up for your family and for your son.
Absolutely.
And it's modeling that you two are all that each other need, right?
Absolutely.
And your son is seeing that and your son is mm-hmm. feeling that. And I think that, here I go again with what straight people can learn from us queers. I think that straight parents can learn a lot because there's always so much emphasis placed on that parent who's absent. Mm-hmm. And the child is always hearing about, oh, that parent's a loser. They don't show up for my kid. Oof. Oh, my kid is going to be so sad. No, no, no. We don't have to go. We don't have to do that. What matters is that they have somebody who loves them unconditionally and without abandon and will always show up for them and model what true love looks like. That's it.
That part, it's about consistency. It's about, like you said, showing up. It's about the village that's behind them that is holding both dad and son up mm-hmm. every single day supporting us. And I had the best, when I tell you I have the best village, I swear, and every day it's expanding. But the village that I was allotted when my son came home, was delivered into my hands in my apartment. Oh my God, I had my girlfriends that will have me take a nap. They'll come over and take turns watching him. Come over and take turns watching him so I can take a shower. Come home so I can just go to the cafe and sit for an hour. And will force me, literally will come, ring my bell, force me to leave the house.
Those These are the friends you need. Yes.
Mm-hmm. These were other moms. And once I received that, I was like, oh, we're going to be okay.
You're going to be okay. You're going to be okay.
All my nerves went away. I was still very much like, okay. I would stare at him all the time like, oh, like you're crying. Why are you crying? But we're going to be okay. But I knew I had, and nerves are not always a bad thing, right? So I believe that you're true authentic self, and like you put in more when you have a bit of nerves, right? Healthy nerves. I mean, I was hell of a nervous. Like, I was like, oh my God, like there's this little thing that's like looking at me and like, what do I do? Like, what do you want? Like,
right.
Where's your voice? Like, why are you not telling me what you want?
Yeah, it's hard.
But there were those moms, and I was the only dad for a very long time, but we now have other dads on board. But I was just seeing those moms constantly remind me, like, hey, child, you're just gonna be okay.
You got this.
You wouldn't be given this gift if you were not able, you know, in the space to receive it. You have to remember that, right? You're okay. Mm. It's been 3 years and they're still there like, you make me look like an absent parent. Just the way you just be out there. You just dress every day. And then I'm like, girl, I learned from you.
Oh, listen, it takes a village. And also you are above and beyond at least showing up in the world in a beautiful way. Like my kids and I, we go out in the street looking all kinds of toe up.
I don't know how long this will last. Because let me tell you, this hair has not been done. I mean, Moose, shout outs to the creators of Moose. But the way that this hair has not been done for like almost 3 weeks. And I don't have it in me to do this hair. I just want to say.
It looks beautiful. It looks amazing. And I don't have it in me to do this hair. That's why these headphones make it look like it's done. It is not done.
I should get me some of those headphones for these other interviews. I love that.
Because then you can kind of hide your hair my secret. But no, you show up looking beautiful. You dress your son. I think my son, I'm not sure what he's wearing right now. At least I send him out. I don't even know. And I don't think I brushed his hair today. But
it's okay. He's breathing. He's healthy. He ate. Good.
Yeah, we're good. That's the joke I always say, though. We're going to go into the stereotypes here. Us lesbian moms, our kids always look a little disheveled. And you gay dads, your kids are always so put together. When we had my daughter when she was like three, we had her in a swimming class. And there was this other gay dad couple that had a little girl in their swimming class. You know, after the class, you go into the locker rooms with the kid and you shower them and you get them dressed, right? And then we would always see each other on the street walking. We would be like, hurry, hurry. I don't want to run into the gay dads, because that child would come out with ribbons in her hair and braids all done, like done. And like the cutest little outfit and dry, completely dry. And our child came out with wet hair with tangles all up in it, and like I'm not sure what whatever the clothes we could find in the drawer, like the difference between
it's
the
clean.
Lesbian
I hope
it was clean. Yeah, the difference between I'm just kidding the difference between the lesbian moms and the gay dads, just to put a stereotype out there, sometimes these things hold true, but you show up in the world looking fly always, and I appreciate that about you.
And I received that, thank you. I always say, my son is like, again, and I'm going to consistently say this and continuously say it. My son is the replica of me for a reason, right? And I want him to be his full, authentic self. I want him to show up however he wants to show up. But one thing you're not going to show up is looking crazy. Because you're a representation of me. And everyone that knows me will tell you that I've been dressing this way. I went through all the bullying, the teasing for me showing up to school looking this way. I've been dressing this way since I came to this country, since I came into who I was confirmed to be. The lesson that I want to teach my son is how you show up matters. Mm-hmm. What you wear does not, right? Mm-hmm. So how you show up in the world matters. I don't care if you go to the dollar store and put on a t-shirt and go on to a dollar store. And I've had many of those moments, even in adult age. Mm-hmm. That should be very clear. I don't care what you buy, what you wear, but just make sure you're showing up correctly. Mm. Hygiene is very important. We're not playing that around here. I don't care what sport you play. You can be a soccer player, football player, rugby. You could be basketball. You can be ballerina. You can do whatever you want to do. But that hygiene, darling. How you show up matters.
Yes.
I make sure that every day, I mean, I slick his hair down. I do all sorts of things. I don't know. I didn't know how to do this. My hair's texture is kind of different from his. So I'm like, we're just going to go on YouTube.
Yeah.
And he's just like the kid that he's such a boy's boy. So he's always looking at me like, oh, God.
Like, but he lets you do it.
Sit here and like get my hair parted and combed. And I'm like, you look cute.
It's working. It's working. He might get a little bit more assertive as he gets older, and you might not be able to do that forever. However, the lessons are being learned, and it matters. It matters how you show up, not physically and emotionally and internally as well. Like, everything you just said is 100% true, and you're doing an amazing job.
Thank you.
Being you. And raising your son to also be himself, which I think is more than a lot of parents out there do. And I just want to highlight the intentionality that has gone into your whole journey, not just your parenting journey, but your entire journey. And
your
parenting journey, because we queer folks are the most intentional parents out there. Don't let anybody tell you differently. We are the most intentional parents out there. And for anybody to say that we shouldn't be parents, just come listen to all these conversations right here.
Hello.
Thank you.
And that's it. Period.
Yes. Period. Full stop.
And that's it. Return to sender.
But seriously, like, such an intentional story and such a beautiful story. And this little boy was meant to be yours.
We are intentional because most of us cannot have or don't have the option of just having a biological child. So you're intentionally creating these families. Mm-hmm. So everything, like you said, celebrating intentionality. Like, we have to be intentional with what we write in our stories.
Yeah.
So
And with that, happy pride, y'all.
Happy pride.
Go find that pride.
Yes,
I have one last question, Darren.
Of course.
And I'm going to ask this of everybody in the Pride Extravaganza. My last question is, what does pride mean to you? I feel like we have just spent the entire 51 minutes talking about that. But what exactly does pride mean to you, Darren?
Oh, pride means freedom. It means community. It means, like we said, intentionality. It means being surrounded by family. It means love. It means peace. It means evolution.
Mm.
People don't really pay attention to. It means just delicate flowers. Like, we're very delicate because we love very hard. Our love, again, back to intentional, like, our love is very intentional. And I think that's what pride represents for us. It's like a big fucking party of just happiness.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Celebrate. Celebrate, folks. Let's celebrate. Go.
It is our month.
Yes, it is. Yes, and nobody's taking it away. Ever, ever, ever.
Period.
Period. Full stop. To sender, whatever you said, because that's beautiful. You're quicker than me on the things.
Love it.
Oh my God, this has been so beautiful. You're beautiful. I love you.
Thank you. I hope
our paths cross in the city
we call home.
We
have to make sure. Yes.
Yes. This is not the end because I consider you a part of my chosen family now. So.
Period. And thank you so much for having me again. Thank you for creating space for these kind of conversations and this interaction. It's very important. It's very needed and it's very scarce. We don't see a lot of it. So thank you for being an advocate for us.
Right back at you.
You're beautiful too.
Oh, thank you. It's just the lighting. But right back at you. And thank you for showing up and being the representation that so many need.
Likewise.
Yes.
Thanks.
Mwah. I love you.
Love you too. Bye.
Queer Family Podcast.
Before we say goodbye, I just want to say one last thank you to our sponsor, California Cryobank. What you're going to want to do is use code QueerFam25 to get you a free level 2 subscription to their donor catalog. Let's go. Let's go. Thank you, California Cryobank.
Love is love.
Whew. Well, folks, I hope you enjoyed that episode as much as I enjoyed it. And if you did enjoy it, feel free to listen to another or watch another. I have so many episodes for your listening or viewing pleasure. Just go pick one and enjoy. There's a lot. There really is. And also, if you really do like this show, please, I know I say it all the time, but please do consider supporting the show on Patreon. You're just going to go to patreon.com/thequeerfamilypodcast. You're going to pick a tier, you're going to join, and you're going to get that bonus content. And you're also going to get my love and adoration for the rest of my life. I love you all. Thanks for tuning in. Keep on tuning in, and I'll see you next time. Mwah.
Hey, I'm stand-up comedian Ophira Eisenberg, and I am mom to a very spirited 9-year-old and host of Parenting is a Joke. Each week, I talk to comedians and celebrities about what it's like to raise kids while keeping your career afloat. There is no parenting advice here, okay? Just hilarious stories from the chaos of everyday life, from school drop-offs to airport meltdowns and everything in between. We're all figuring it out. New episodes every Tuesday and Thursday. Subscribe to Parenting is a Joke wherever you get your podcasts.
From the podcast that brought you to each of the last lesbian bars in the country and back in time through the sapphic history that shaped them, comes a brand new season of Cruising Beyond the Bars. This is your host, Sarah Gabrielli, and I've spent the past year interviewing history-making lesbians and queer folks about all kinds of queer spaces, from bookstores to farms to line dancing and much more.
For 11 years, every night women slept illegally on the common.
We would move down to the West Indies to form a lesbian nation.
Meg Christen coined the phrase women's music, but she would have liked to say it was lesbian music.
And that's kind of the origins of the Combi Huber Collective.
You can listen to Cruising on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. New episodes air every other Tuesday starting February 4th.